And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards.
Steve.
Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the butcher shop, Dixon. Yes, they're back in Dixon. And Kayleen as well. That was the big news I was going to tell you a couple of weeks ago, Benny, and I didn't trust you with it.
I'm Ben. I saw the announcement. Yeah, how could... Wait, how come? What happened?
Was it just
an empty spot?
No. Long story. We'll get into it when we're talking up the butcher shop in their livery, because it's even better than it used to be now with the addition of what they've taken under their wing. So
yeah,
we'll get
to
that. Benny jumped the gun. I'm Scotty. He's Benny.
I'm Duke.
Stevie P.
Duke's broken. He looks like he's jizzed.
He's not hungover, folks.
It looks like he's jizzed all over his feet.
Yeah. He's been taking zinc tablets.
I did it this time. Grow up, everyone.
We'll get to all that, but a huge weekend for Duke, but he is wearing some scars. I tell you what, you're not wearing as many scars as bloody Josh Tonner.
Yeah,
whoa,
Jesus.
Wowee.
That is a classic case of you should see the other guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he won the fight, but Jesus Christ, his face took some damage, didn't it?
Oh,
yeah,
mate, it looked like he must have had a war by the sounds of this.
He just went toe to toe. Got over a million views on YouTube.
Yeah, it was a war. It was awesome. Nice. And Stevie Payos, some big news for you, which we'll get to later on as well.
That's right, mate.
Exciting stuff. Science off to Abu Dhabi.
That's right, mate. 3 months in the Middle East coming up at the end of the year, so it's going to be fantastic.
3 months?
Yeah, about that, Benny. Yeah, it's about 2.5, I think.
Yeah,
around about 2.5, 12
when
weeks.
When I went to, I've never been to Abu Dhabi, but I've been to Dubai.
Yeah. Mm.
There's heaps of black American prostitutes.
Thanks, Ben.
Fantastic.
So they'll see you, white guy, like, oh, easy, he's got money. They're going to be all over.
I've been Abu Dhabi, it's expensive.
Well, they got the Ferrari world there. Yeah. I flew over the top of Ferrari. You got to go Ferrari world.
Yeah, of course.
Don't say
you
went.
The full simulators and all that sort of
stuff.
Pretty
much went.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
thanks for that news though, Ben. That's really made my day.
I know petrol's like 11 cents a litre, but Coke's about $48 for a bottle.
And they got Mercedes taxis.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That'd be nice and cheap for me to
drive
to see those friends of yours.
That's 3 months. That's awesome.
What a grub.
Yeah, it'll be good, mate. Yeah, it's about that time. I think about, let's say, 11 weeks or something like that.
That's awesome.
Impressive, man.
Long time, mate. It's going to be a reasonable amount of time away. I'm just going to work out if I'm going to come home for Christmas or might even go to England and watch some Premier League or something like that.
It'll be weird having Christmas over there. I was in Dubai for Christmas Day 2007. It's just another day over there.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. So I'm thinking I might go to England and sort of
perch up there.
Yeah, more than halfway, two-thirds. So I might perch up there and watch some English Premier League or come back home. I've got a little gap in the middle of about 7 days. So
that'd be good.
But yeah, overall, very excited about it. Glad that it's come through now. It's taken some time to sort of work through, but that's how these things go.
So. Exciting time.
Mate, that's not a baby step.
That's a great step.
That's
a break.
Stephen Payne.
Yeah. that's awesome. Your big break.
That might be the start of something real big, man.
Oh, I hope so, mate.
You were talking about a 15-year plan with me at Juros's house a few months ago. This might be the huge step.
That's right, yeah.
15 years turned into 15 days.
Yeah, I appreciate that, boys. So, nice. Yeah, hopefully it all goes well.
Well, apologies for our regular listeners on last week. We just couldn't get our schedules to match up. So
I was upset.
Let's just have the week off. Childish boys. If I don't write a smiley face when I'm texting, I'm upset. You've never seen the group chat
were turned into an absolute dogfight.
I'm like, come on, boys, just hug it out. We've got two episodes to go.
Oh, it was cool, wasn't it? I couldn't bring myself to read.
For the record, it wasn't me or Scotty. It was me.
I mean, Scotty said, we'll just do
whatever time suits everyone. You just work it out.
Tell me when you want to record, boys, whenever.
Hey, guys, just let me know. Okay.
Anyway, we're back this week.
Apologies, we got this episode. No offense taken.
This is episode 26, episode 73 in total. Thanks to the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen. It came out the other night. I'm seeing it this Friday. Can't wait to see it. The movie Bohemian Rhapsody about the life
of
the
looks
times
good,
of
Scotty.
Freddie Mercury. I've read bad reports and I've read awesome reports. So like this, you're going to get your diehard Queen fans, and it's a Hollywood movie. They're going to take a few liberties with some of it, but it looks sensational. And they've put out a soundtrack album, which is a bunch of Queen classics that have been remastered. And they've taken We Will Rock You and they've done the Queen movie mix. So it's got live audio cut in with the album version. So I thought we'd kick off this week's podcast with that, because Queen, I mean, quite simply, the best rock band that ever was. The best frontman.
I agree.
Best frontman that's ever been.
I know you're
closely
with Costa.
Followed by Bon Scott. But
yeah. Are you talking about entertainer, Scotty? Are you talking about singer and just everything? The total package.
Total frontman. Yeah. I had an argument with Costa about Mick Jagger.
Oh, Mick Jagger can't carry a tune in a bucket. But he's got a massive dick and the girls love
it. I think as time goes on, we appreciate Queen more and more.
Oh,
as
opposed to original. Who sounds like Queen? Yeah, no one.
And still no one does.
Band, yeah. Every member of the band had a number one hit, one of the very few bands in the world to do it. And I mean, it was Brian May is an astrophysicist.
Yeah.
John Deacon was a chartered accountant, and Freddie and Roger were both art school.
Freddie
majors.
Wore a cape.
Yeah, he did. He designed their clothes, designed their original logo.
Speaking of music and movies, have you seen A Star Is Born?
I want to see that badly. Did you go?
I thoroughly enjoyed that. I didn't want to go. The missus dragged me. Awesome.
Yeah.
Actually,
hey,
awesome.
I've actually been reading reviews about that flat stick. It looks really good.
Bradley Cooper, mate, dude can act.
Yeah.
Second Lady Gaga. Too, Lady Gaga was perfect for that. It was awesome in so many levels.
He can sing too, can't he? Mate, he had to learn
really
to sing.
He really impressed me on Bradley Cooper. Because I didn't like I wasn't the biggest fan of
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah. He's a
him and Tom Hardy.
Of the Hangover.
He was great in American Sniper.
Tom Hardy, my favourite.
Tom Hardy's the man.
And he's great as the raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies too.
But even Bradley Cooper, like, he's dropped his voice like 2 octaves just to talk like this, and he nailed it.
Octaves.
It was awesome.
Octaves. Just depends on what school you got thrown out of.
Maris, Melbourne.
You'd think going to Radford, you'd learn to be able to speak probably, wouldn't you? Anyway, let's get into Queen. This is We Will Rock You. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, episode 26,
start.
Season 3.
Your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you. We will rock you. Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, your big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
Sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Last week when we weren't recording, he was grumpy. This week he's got a smile on his face. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Edwards.
But still grumpy, but smiling on the outside. So, what I wanted to talk about, I was going to talk about a certain trade, but I won't. I'll save it for Duke because he's got nothing prepared for his segment. Ultimate Fight Night 138 happened in Canada on the weekend. This dude, Costa's got a theory that if you look similar, you're probably from the same tribe 40,000 years ago. This dude's from the same tribe as me. When I shave my head, shave my beard, he looks like me, like a little bit special, but tough.
Who?
Anthony Smith. He's tough as. Okay. He's only 30 years old, but he's had 44 fights, which I didn't know. He was number 10 ranked light heavyweight. He stepped up from middleweight 3 fights ago. Took on number 2 Volkan Ozdemir, Turkish descent, from Switzerland, but now lives in Florida. Man, Anthony Smith got a 4th round sub. Mm. Came from behind, was getting pummeled most of the fight. And man, from number 10 to knock off the number 2 light heavyweight, he is right in the mix for a title shot now. He's had a quickest rise.
He's definitely shot through the ranks.
Yeah, he doesn't look that much like you.
Doesn't really look like Ben at all.
Really?
No, I don't know.
I'm going to go with Scotty
on
that.
Look at me with the shape.
No.
I thought I was actually having a laugh at myself.
He's a big unit, but
looks more look like, at me when I shave my hair.
Looks like Rudik.
Rudik's handsome, man.
He's a good looking man.
He is. I owe him a text. light heavyweight has.
But he shot through the ranks though, Benny, as well, because it's been so unheard of. It's just a name that no one's spoken about.
Came up, knocked off 2 former champions, 2 fights in a row, and everyone thought, oh, he's a bit past it. First 3 rounds of this fight, he was really under the pump, getting hammered. Volkan gassed, and he came on strong. So he's got the Edwards chin. We might be related.
definitely.
Moving on to some... actually, I've got a fight booked for 16th of February. I'm rematching... Who am I rematching? Wallace Toto.
The guy that's my last
boxing fight. Yeah. Yeah.
So big news.
We went the distance. That's happening on the John Varian tribute show for the Monero fight circuit on the actual to the day, 16th of February, 10 years to the day since my late great trainer Johnny Varian passed away. So yeah. It's going to be a great night.
That's going to be if the fight goes ahead after what happened last time. It's
I think there's a lot of
night for you, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of lessons learned from. There's the same thing that happened, similar thing that happened with Brace. I think they're just going to book tons of fights for fight nights, and that way if something falls through, the government won't pull the show. So there's been a lot of lessons learned with the changes.
So we'll just monitor the legislation. We'll just monitor it as much as we can as fighters and coaches. Yeah. But all we can do is monitor it and stay on top of things that we can stay on top of. We'll
so
make
this
sure
guy,
Ben's registered.
You were going to box, right, last time. Is he fighting MMA now?
We're fighting MMA. It will count on my record 100%.
Yeah.
And also I'm working with Mark Hunt's trainer now. Mark Hunt's manager now.
Oh, you went down to Melbourne last
week.
Yeah,
so yeah. So that anyway, great guy, everything. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, really happy. Awesome. So I'm now managed by the same guy as Mark Hunt, Tyson Pedro, Tai Tuivasa, and a few, Dan
great
Kelly
news,
as well.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
When will this happen?
That's
awesome.
Yeah, because I've been looking after my own
stuff. You need to be telling some people that.
No wonder he was grumpy last week. He's got all these wonderful news to share and happy days now. Good on you, mate. That's
good, though.
I've sort of been looking after myself
the last 3 fights, so it's good just to have, okay, now it's time to step it up.
Step it up.
Get more professional.
That's unreal, man.
We'll get this fight sorted and not to look past it, but I mean, it's a good timing. February's good timing. Nice big camp.
Yeah.
Little Christmas and then care.
Well, so we just keep.
We better have the podcast Christmas party tomorrow.
Without giving away any more than I have, I'm looking like I'm December the 8th. So I mean, if we go from go up to December the 8th, then we can just push through.
Yeah,
we can just push through to February.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the way it's going to look if we can all stay as active as we can.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
none of us have got too bad injuries right now. And
yeah, Duke, you can't announce, but hopefully next week on our last
December
podcast.
December the 8th. Yeah, I can't give you a name or a venue, but December the 8th. It looks like it's locked in. All right. Sign anything.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah, cross your fingers, listeners. Nice. Cross your fingers.
That's awesome.
Fingers crossed. Well done, boys. Good on you. Thanks for sharing, Benny. Finally, that's good, mate.
No worries. Thanks, man. Now I feel really bad about it.
Should have seen him last week.
Excellent. It's working.
Maybe I should read some of them out.
So boxing news.
I will later.
So boxing news. Mate, Canelo Alvarez has signed the biggest deal. He's just become the highest paid athlete in the world. Did he overtake Ronaldo? Is that who it would have been?
I think in future
outside of endorsements and stuff, as an actual athlete getting paid by the company that he's fighting for.
Oh yeah, not sure. Yeah, there's a few names thrown up there, Benny, because like LeBron's on a massive contract.
Yeah.
And then you look at a few of the baseballers that are on their 10-year deals worth $250-$300 million.
So he has signed.
He ain't no base rate though.
Yeah, mate, correct.
He has signed an 11 fight deal over 5 years.
With DAZN.
With DAZN.
Yeah.
DAZN.
Huge.
You've probably seen the logo, DAZ, and they're heavily advertising
everywhere.
Every martial arts site I go on.
Yeah.
it's a good signing for him. Like he's the top pound for pound guy in boxing at the mm-hmm. arguably he's definitely the most marketable.
Yep.
Like he wins fights. He's a bigger guy compared to the other guys in the top pound for pound list. He's got 4 of the top 54 pay-per-views of all time under his belt, and I think it's also a future sign that huge sporting events are moving yep. away from the pay-per-view
so
model.
We're moving yep. towards the Netflix model where yep. you're yep. paying a weekly or monthly subscription.
$10 a month and you get all pay-per-views. Like,
yeah, who would that be?
Who's paying $60 for a pay-per-view?
It's the same as the WWE network.
Yeah.
And it's worked for them clearly. So yeah. they're, it's obviously more profitable for them to have more people buying
this
at
$10
a month.
This is what I've been saying the NRL need to do for years too. Like instead of having insanely 100% dear prices, you know, for
your Foxtel
games,
box.
Yeah. Well, that as well.
But
yeah,
that's where things
right.
that's where things are heading. So it's yeah. good. It's good. Right I feel like they're taking us for a ride near the end there anyway. Yeah.
Well, the pay-per-view numbers outside of Conor McGregor have been woeful.
That last fight with Triple G cost me $54. I think.
It's ridiculous.
Cost
man.
Me $54.
And
yeah.
just feel like a Robert. Hardcore fan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like
usually we go to a pub anyway now.
Yeah, you have to because you can't afford it.
Let's give some credit to Eddie Hearn though too, boys. I think he's doing a fantastic job in terms of boxing. The amount of attention he's put on all of the fighters with the marketing that he does,
yep.
what they put on all the social platforms is just superb. They've signed Michael Buffer now exclusively to DAZN and to the English arm of that Matchroom, which is just
nice.
Huge. So they're pulling all the big stops out now to really make themselves the very best.
The last move they're going to make is get that Anthony Joshua either winner versus Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury.
I listened to the Tyson Fury on Rogan.
I did too.
That was such an awesome podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many things I can relate to. Being like a heavyweight fighter and some of the things that it's different about being a heavyweight and a lighter weight guy and some things trainers don't get. And it was so refreshing and great. It was such a good podcast. I highly recommend it. Moving on, finally, wrestling news. Roman Reigns.
Mate.
Yeah. He's actually announced that he has leukemia again. Apparently, he had a bout with it like 11 years ago.
Yep.
Was in full remission. Obviously, after 5 years, you're in full remission.
Yep.
Leukemia has come back.
Well, it's sad, isn't it? Christian Leofano suffered from the same thing. So it's like it's a Polynesian sort of like.
Unbelievable.
It could be.
Yeah, well, it's something that you can beat, but hopefully.
Yeah, you have a look at him. Like, the guy is just an absolute Adonis. Like, he's a beautiful man. No homo. But looks like the picture of health and fitness and strength.
Hopefully he overcomes his battle and gets back into it.
Very sad news, though. You see when he made the announcement too in front of all the fans that he was going to step away and relinquish his, unified heavyweight title that he had?
Universal.
But that was very sad news for him and for the sport itself because you need your big names in there to really keep
And you don't want to see anyone get crook.
That's correct.
That's right.
So you don't want to see people suffer like that. So.
And as I always like to do, we are going to finish on that depressing note.
Love that, eh, Benny? Just leave us miserable.
That's it.
Queen Vienna is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Stephen, Duke.
Well, if you've been paying attention since the start of the show, you would have heard that the Butcher Shop is back in Dixon where it all started.
They're back,
and
baby.
Still in Kayleen as well. Now, start of this year it was, a couple of guys that worked for Ian went out on their own and bought that shop out and became a little place called Boutique Charcuterie, and they do all smoked goods like salmon gravlax and trout, and they smoke different kinds of bacon and all those new sausages at the butcher shop we were talking about in the last couple of weeks. They're the guys that came up with them. They're now back under the butcher shop umbrella, but you'll be able to get butcher shop products at both stores and boutique charcuterie products at both stores. So when you're in the butcher shop, Benny.
Charcuterie.
Yeah, it's a posh word for smoked goods like deli
boutique.
Goods and things like that. So
is it a haberdashery? Is it a haberdashery?
No, it's not. No, that's got to do with Manchester and clothing and stuff like that. But they've got these things, these little things. I grabbed some last week. They're called Heat and Eat Chili and Salt Wings. So there's these cooked smoked chicken wings covered in salt and chili. You just whack them in the microwave. Wow, good. So good. So get some of them next time you're in at the butcher shop.
So what was the spot? Just sitting there and they're like, let's do it.
They were working, and then Ian just the opportunity came up for Ian to come back in and take over the shop again. So it's back under the butcher shop.
How long were they gone for?
From January this year.
Yeah.
So
okay.
10 months, 11 months.
Yeah. Wow.
So they're back in there. So both stores now, and I know there are plans down the track. I can't talk about yet, but there are plans for expansion.
We're not telling Ben either.
No, you can't tell Ben.
Leaky
anything.
Bucket.
Yeah. That's a, they wrote that song, There's a Hole in the Bucket, yeah. Dear Liza, about Ben.
What's this coming from?
I'm an open book. That's where it's coming from.
If it's serious.
I don't have to keep a secret. I'm an open book. I tell
I've got a million
everything.
Of your secrets on my sleeve.
Close the book, close the book, close the book. Shut it.
I'm an open book with myself.
Folks, just get in there. Without the Butcher Shop, we wouldn't have been able to do this podcast the last couple of years, and we do really love them, and they do have the best meat in Canberra. Pay attention to their Facebook page on Thursday. There is a new product that we're doing a video on this week, and people will quite literally crap themselves when they see how good this stuff is. So
if you want to crap yourself?
In a good way. In a good way. In an excited, foody way.
It's always a good way.
Is there
way.
A good way to crap yourself?
I don't know. Yeah, probably
oh,
not.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, Scott. Well done, Scott. Relieved, just go to the butcher shop where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
And now on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time for The Week in Review.
I love that intro. This is the last week in review on this podcast. Next week, it is going to be the most nonsensical top five, given the best five reactions from Ben Edwards in the top five. So it's not going to make any
so
sense
it's
next week.
Top five dick jokes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Cock,
yeah.
Balls, yeah. Vag, tits, ass. That's it.
First up this week in the week in review, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson called off their engagement. It'll be much faster if we ask who didn't see that coming. Yeah. Seriously. Like, that was always going to happen.
Who was that dude, Scotty? What he's on, was
he's
that?
On Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
And he's famous because he makes jokes. His dad was one of the first responders at 9/11 in the Twin Towers, and his dad died in the Twin Towers, and he makes jokes about it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's
I think it's a coping mechanism.
Probably yeah, is.
Definitely.
I like that.
How's this one? After 60 years of offering man-sized Kleenex, Kimberly Clark is going to rebrand them after consumer complaints that the name was sexist.
Oh, this was good.
It's
this
the
stuff.
World we live in. So they're changing the name to Extra Large. That's going to be great until all the extra large people and all the Asians in the world get wind of this.
I'll wait till your top five's done to make a comment about something. Because you're making your view, because you might actually bring it up. I don't know what you've got in there, but if it's not in there, I'll bring something up at the end about how farcical this PC world is these days.
All right. Weight Watchers is changing its image and its name to WW and offering wellness-themed cruises. I know when I think of cruises, I think of losing weight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine the buffet is just one carrot.
Pot became legal in Canada last weekend, and the country ran out of pot supplies in 2 days.
Shock me.
Two days. In all of Canada.
All of Canada. Yeah. Speaking of which, Canadian pot company Aurora Cannabis is planning to trade on the New York Stock Exchange one of these days when they remember to remind themselves to trade on the New York Stock Exchange. Thieves have stolen an inflatable 10-foot-long colon from Kansas Hospital. That's another case of shit happens. The cruise ship Titanic 2 is set to make its maiden voyage in 2022. Two words come to mind, you first. It's going to take the actual original route
Clive Palmer's work?
It'll never happen.
But this was him.
Yeah,
this is his Clive.
Is it going to hit the original iceberg, Scotty?
I love the hypocrisy. Clive. If you listen to Talkback Radio at the moment, Clive is spending an absolute mozza advertising, going, get out of the Paris Agreement, vote Palmer United Party. We're all about Australian jobs. He's building this fucking ship in China. I'm sorry, Clive, but I mean, he says all the things that the populace are thinking about, but anyone who votes for him is a fucking
moron.
Just
Donald Trump. He's Australian anyway, Donald Trump. Yeah. He's literally Australian Donald
That's
Trump.
That's what he's trying to do. He's an idiot. He's an absolute idiot.
He's interesting.
Dyson, the British vacuum cleaner company, is building a factory in Singapore to begin making electric cars. Makes you wonder if they'll suck too. finally this week, a new study from Stockholm University says that kids who were unpopular in high school are more likely to smoke cigarettes as adults. Seriously. The study went on to say that kids who are popular in high school are most likely to smoke cigarettes after they their teachers. And that's the week in review. See, Edward smiles at the dirty ones.
That was good. Quickly, what I wanted,
all right, yeah, what do you want
what
to
I wanted to raise was, I didn't know you were going to mention it. You see all the stuff, how they're going to remove Apu now out of The Simpsons because it's based on a stereotype or something like that?
I watched that documentary.
I was watching an old
episode. Is there a doco on it?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
It's a doco.
The first 8 seasons of The Simpsons.
It's on SBS right now. If you go to SBS to buy demand or whatever, you can watch it.
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's about an Indian comedian being offended about Apu.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's the whole thing's a joke. I was watching.
Which is it a famous Indian comedian?
A very, very old Simpsons on the weekend.
Yeah,
another interview.
And
the
jokes
ones,
just wouldn't cop it now. You just know people would be offended.
I reckon they're still reasonably well in. But this whole thing about it being based on stereotypes, every character in there is a stereotype.
When the first Scottish person complains about groundskeeper Willie, he's going to be gone. What about the Italian guy in the restaurant? And you know, like
the mafia ones, the cops like sitting there eating donuts.
Yeah, that's right.
And with Apu, like he's a beloved character. And even like they're actually pretty respectful when they talk. He's a hard working dude.
Yeah.
He's got 8 kids and shit. Like,
it's because he works at a convenience store.
It's a joke.
This is the world we live in.
Turn
this
it
is
up.
The world we live in.
Anyway.
And this just, the Week in Review just became a Ben Edwards segment. Depressing at the end.
It's like, remember, like Full Frontal and
all that
was just stereotypes.
No, oh, good golly gosh, the Fakari rugs.
Like, and you know what I'm thinking of when I look at Mayos, Con the Fruiter.
Couple of days.
But it was funny.
I know.
It's just sad.
But do you know what's funny in there? Being offended and having social outrage shows you care.
In some circles.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the vast planet
of athletic endeavour.
A new world record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Go, Stephen.
Thanks, boys. Didn't realise it was up to me. I'm going to start with my depressing news first because I don't want to end it in Ben Edwards style. But there was some really sad news to come out of the English Premier League over the weekend. Not sure if you boys have seen that. The owner of Leicester City, the man who invested in the club about 5 years ago, and then effectively built the club into a position where they could pull off that miraculous Premier League victory, the title win of 2016, passed away after his helicopter took off from the middle of the pitch. So he flies in from Bangkok for every single home game.
Yep.
Flies in all the way from Bangkok, gets off at the airport, gets his personal chopper from the airport to the game, lands in the middle of the stadium, watches the game, then it's reverse trip back home.
I didn't know that.
So the helicopter, he's got in the helicopter an hour after the game.
With four other people,
yep. Flown out of the stadium, and then within about 30 seconds it's crashed. And the pilot as well is being hailed. He's passed away sadly.
Yeah, they said they were about to hit a bunch of people.
He's being hailed as a hero because he's managed to steer it away from about 100 people in a segregated area.
Yeah.
And managed to divert it into a car park which was empty and crashed there. And
yeah,
and a massive fireball. Everybody died.
This is the same guy, this owner, when they won the flag, he bought every player a $100,000 sports car.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a billionaire.
How did he make his money?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly, but I do know he owns King Power duty free, which is one of the really big.
Got his fingers in a lot of pies, apparently. Like he didn't make his money all in the stock exchange or all in real estate. It was in a bunch of different ways. I reckon he was a really cluey businessman.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of pies. It's Duke and Payos tend to just do them one or two pies at a time.
someone's died, mate.
Yeah.
Someone's died.
It's a coping mechanism.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. It's a coping mechanism.
That's good for you, Benny. So rest in peace to Vijay Srivada. Srivadhana Prabham was his name.
Yes.
So yeah, very, very sad news to come out of that. Very, very, you know, just to think, I mean, it's, yeah, there's nothing you can say about it. That's nice when anyone passes away.
You wouldn't
away,
think of something like that happening in a city in the UK.
You're right,
first
Ben.
World country.
Yeah.
You know, we're known here.
Yeah,
like a helicopter crash in the city. In
bang
the UK.
On, like a technical malfunction to a helicopter of a billionaire, which you'd expect would be.
I mean, helicopters by their own design are trying to crash from the minute you get off the ground. Like that's
Eagles, of course, he's got a lot to
work.
Answer for.
Yeah, they shouldn't work, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the aviation authorities find that caused the issue.
That's wrong with that. Yeah, so very, very sad news. Overnight in the Spanish La Liga, the El Clasico took place. Barcelona thumping Real Madrid 5-1. For all the football fans out there, so that probably means that Julen Lopetegui will be in big trouble as a Real Madrid coach. They're really struggling at the moment. And curiously for me, I'm interested to see how they end up at the World Club Cup, where I'll be in December. They're obviously one of the biggest draws there, being the European champions. But they are struggling big time at the moment. So interesting news. The A-League in Australia over the weekend, more farcical scenes everywhere with the VAR, which is the video review system at the moment. Not sure if you boys have seen it, but there's been outrage, there's been goals disallowed, there's been nitpicking on all sorts of things, and the whole community of football has just been in absolute outrage about it.
Yeah.
In the sense that the way it worked in the World Cup is that decisions were reviewed, but on a very sparing basis. Like, unless something was clear and blatant, just leave it, no problems there whatsoever. What's happening is they're just nitpicking over the smallest little fouls, things that are 50-50 and the referee should be allowed to leave that as a 50-50. And it's up to the ref. The way the NRL have refined their bunker system is a lot better. And it's up to the ref to actually go and refer it, as opposed to what happens in the A-League and the soccer at the moment is the VAR is sending a message to the ref going, I think you need to check that, which then second guesses what he's done.
So they don't only check goals, they check
offside decisions.
That's right. Yeah. There's certain ways it can get involved at certain times.
I just hope it doesn't end up like the way the NFL ended up, where a one hour hour of game time ends up being
three and a half hours of sport, which is just ludicrous and chaos. So yeah, no good indeed. So we'll see how that all refines out. Overnight, boys, we saw Lewis Hamilton crowned the Formula One world champion for a record equaling fifth time. He joins Juan Manuel Fangio as the joint second most wins of Formula One titles behind the great Michael Schumacher, who has seven. So great win for Lewis. And if we have a quick listen here, we can hear as the commentator waved him in for his victory.
Max Verstappen's smile will be beaming in Mexico this evening. Verstappen wins the Mexican Grand Prix. It is back-to-back wins here in Mexico City for the man in car number 33. For the first time ever in Mexico City, Sebastian Vettel will be allowed to stand on the podium. He comes home to finish in second place. The man from Stevenage has done it once again as he rounds the final corner. It's high fives for Lewis Hamilton, a five-time champion of the world.
So it was a great win there for Lewis Hamilton.
That sounded great.
Yeah. You like that one?
You know what that sounded like? It sounded like chaos was in his toilet and his TV was in the lounge room and he went, I'll just record this. That's what you did, didn't you?
Yeah, well, yeah. I wasn't
You're
in the
a
toilet,
sound engineer, man. Work your magic.
Yeah, he has worked it. That's beautiful work there, Scotty. Thanks for that.
No, he didn't.
So, great win. I read a fascinating article about this the other day, boys, about how Lewis Hamilton has this stigma around him that he's that real party boy and he dresses up with his tats and his jewellery and a bit flash and that sort of thing.
What's wrong with that?
Okay, exactly right. The article that it was from Martin Samuel, who's the chief writer in the Daily Mail in the UK. But I'm with you, Duke. That should not take away anything of how good of a racing car driver this man is.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't know that much about racing, racing is very difficult on the body. It's a tough sport.
Yeah.
You gotta be fit.
So that Scotty from your love
of the
V8s.
It's even more impressive when you're a party boy and you still perform.
Yeah, and you still get. Well, you think about the great guys from the 70s and 80s who have made.
Well,
movies
I was thinking
about,
Babe Ruth. As well. Like, he'd show up, pissed as a fart, and just smash.
Mate, Gary
homers.
Sobers was famous for that. The great West Indian cricketer, Benny
Sobers.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, you love that. That was his great. Gary Sobers is famous. Like, I read his book, it's brilliant. Like, he talks about one night went on a massive bender, ended up with some bird, finished up at 6 o'clock in the morning, no worries. The second day of the test, went out the next day. He was asleep in the dressing room, like just passing out asleep in the dressing room. Like, he was so cooked and pissed. Anyway, wicket fell. Like, I think Sobers batted three or four. Wicket fell. This is at Trent Bridge. Came out to the middle in a test match, scored 256.
That's nuts.
Off his head. Like, it's just brilliant stories.
Well,
but
there's a story about Mark Hunt when he won the K1 Oceania in 2000.
Yeah,
he was
out
the night before till all hours.
Yeah.
And I had about 3-4 hours sleep, had a few kebabs, and just smashed everyone.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
unbelievable.
I've heard
that from a reputable source.
Too. Yeah, yeah. That's an awesome story. But yeah, I thought this was a very interesting piece because it talked about the fact that stop taking away from the good of an actual sportsman
pitch,
this man is. Like, don't worry about his relationships and don't worry about his fashion and all that sort of stuff that he does. Leave him alone. He's a great driver.
Yeah.
And well lauded. He was absolutely fantastic. We saw our boy Danny Ricciardo last night again. Mm. Another engine failure, and he was almost threatening to quit Red Bull before the end of the season. That's how annoyed he was at the end of the race because he'd had a cracking lead in. He got pole for his first pole outside of Monaco in his career. So he was in a position where he could have potentially. I think he was in second place at the time. He would have podiumed up in Mexico. So that was a big disappointment for him. And sadly, what can we do? For his case now, he's in a situation where he has to really think about exactly what he wants to do moving forward. We also saw this morning, boys, the crowning of the world champions in baseball. I love it how the Americans dress up all their sports to be the best in the world, but the Boston Red Sox deservingly winning the World Series this morning. They beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in Los Angeles 5-1 in this morning's game. They won the series 4-1 overall, and this was a team who went 108 wins in the regular season out of 162, which is pretty unheard
that
of.
Is,
like, to
yeah.
win sort of two-thirds of your games throughout a season, and then they swept everybody aside in the World Series to take away, I think it's their ninth historical World Series victory. victory, and they're fourth in the last 15 years. So
pretty impressive.
Great achievement there for the Boston Red Sox, Steve Pearce, with the World Series MVP award as well. He had a fascinating series, so that was well done. In the NFL this morning, we saw our good mate Paul Vaughan over there at the moment. He was at the Los Angeles Rams game as they made it 8-0.
In body, I don't think his spirit
was. Yeah.
One week till preseason.
Yeah, that's it.
Saw a fair few sunglasses in all those photos.
Yeah, the photo suggested that he was present, but as for the rest, he looks like he's having a great time over there, Vaughan. But he was at that game, and it was great to see the Rams continue on. Now, the Rams have a link to my club, Arsenal, in the Premier League, because it's owned by the same people, basically. So Stan Kroenke is the man who looks after the Rams the same way that he owns Arsenal. And what's happened is that they've moved from St. Louis out to Los Angeles, and they were a team famous for being poor. The St. Louis Rams were just year after year were going no good. And they've moved to Los Angeles this year, and they're having a cracking season. They haven't done well like this for a long time, so they should be playoffs and finals bound, which is really interesting. So great to see them. Finally, boys, the rugby league merry-go-round. I wanted to touch on this quickly because there's a bit of rugby league news over the weekend. England got over New Zealand over there in the first of three tests over in England, which is great for the international game to see, you know, England knocking off New Zealand. But they're really struggling at the moment, New Zealand. You'd almost consider them, what, fourth or fifth best team in the world,
yeah,
the way they're
Tonga
going.
Yeah, Tonga and England and Australia. Tonga
and England and Australia. They're really struggling at the moment. But the coaching merry-go-round is that's happening. I noticed that listener question touches on this a bit as well. So we're going to talk about it a bit more then too. But it has just become an absolute farce with the way coaches are moving. And I was making this comment to a few people last week. I've never seen a sport in the entire world or a league in the entire world where you've got coaches who are preparing to go places in 2 or 3 years' time. Like, can you imagine the instability that would cause for your players and for your club itself?
You've got a foot out the door.
Mate, it's just farcical. I've never seen anything like it. So they've ironed it out now. So they're clear he's going to go to Penrith next year, I believe,
yes,
Scotty. That's what's happening now.
Yep.
The Tigers have signed Michael Maguire. You've got, I mean, I don't know what's happening with the Broncos and the whole Seabold switch.
Seabold and Bennett will switch in the next week.
You would think so. Yep.
No, it's announced.
It has happened.
They're switching.
Great. So it's happening. So that's it for Bennett at Brisbane then, I dare say, forever.
He's gone south. Yeah.
All South supporters, he's just going to destroy your club like he did at the Knights.
Have fun with that, man.
Or
exactly.
He took St. George to a premiership.
But he left him in tatters for a while after he left. He got Knights one game off a grand final too, but then there was no forward thinking.
There was
he stacked
no follow
the team
on
with
after
older,
that.
Good older players, but at the end of their tether.
But he was gone. Why would he give a shit?
Well, but he was supposed to be there for another 2 years.
He knew he wasn't going to be there. He was planning ahead 3 years, man.
Yeah, probably.
He's a good organiser. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you? I mean, I just think this is just ludicrous. I think the way they've patched it
up is better, but cut off at the end of the season.
Yeah,
like
we'll talk about it more in the listener question. Yeah. it's a joke.
Absolute silliness. So I'm glad that it's sorted out though for the sake of everyone involved, and I'm happy that Desi's back at Manly as well. I think that's fantastic news for.
He
for
bleeds
Manly.
Maroon. Man.
He does, mate. Thank you, Benny.
When he's not coaching the Bulldogs, he bleeds Maroon.
That's right.
He's come home.
He's back.
Full circle.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke. And now it's time for Talking Takedowns. With the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Duke Didier.
All right, Duke. You look like you're covered in jism.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talking Takedowns.
Talking jizz down.
You missed that? Duke's got moisturiser all over his body because he's covered in mat burns from the weekend.
I competed at the Pan Packs, my first time in brown belt, and I think I've left more skin on the mat than you've got left on your
body.
Oh, my God.
But, mate, you walk away with, what, one gold and three silver from
one
the weekend?
One gold and three silver.
That's
so
worth the skin
that's
coming
going,
off,
going up
it?
A belt division. That's awesome. That's a huge jump.
Yeah, I'm filthy, but anyway.
So how does it work, man? You got gold in what?
I got gold in the ultra heavyweight division in the gi.
Ultra
so the
heavyweight
gi is a pajamas, and I fight up. I can't be bothered making weight for these jiu-jitsu comps because I have to do.
What's
it
the weight? 100.
Over 102.
And you would have been the lightest.
I'm 103 and a half right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I
104 with all the jizz on you.
Yeah. Idiot. Anyway, yeah, so I won that.
Fighting the bigger guys.
Yeah, fighting the bigger guys, and that was good. And then I moved into the open. So all the winners of all the divisions in brown belt, they all fought each other in an open. And I came second in that, and it was I lost by a penalty in the final.
How big was the guy that beat you?
85 kilos. Declan Moody. I've never seen him before. He's sleek.
Yeah.
And speaking of Declan, I lost to him in the final of the no gi, which is where I wear the rashi. So it's just like straight submission grappling.
Was it? How'd you lose?
I just lost by a penalty. So I was I was winning. I got penalized three times. Inactivity. So I didn't take. So it's an 8 minute round. So
8 minutes.
So for 8 minutes, and a lot of the times down there on the ground, I'm sort of just trying to, you know, if I'm in someone's guard, and they just lock me in guard. I'm more likely to get penalized because I'm on top and I should be moving.
Yeah.
And I'm a judo guy in the jiu-jitsu comp, so I think that there's a conspiracy.
Yeah, so we hate Jiu-Jitsu Australia as well.
Yeah, Jiu-Jitsu's the Brazilians.
We hate grappling Australia.
No, look, honestly, I took a lot out of it. I learned a bit.
Silver and a gold and no skin. That's awesome.
Yeah, no skin and drive back to Melbourne. And I slipped in a sparring session with Jimmy Crute and Ben Sasoli because they're both rearing up.
How was that, mate? That was good?
Yeah, it was really hard.
Been awesome.
I bet.
Did 4 rounds with Jimmy Crute and 2 with Ben Sasoli. So
that's awesome.
Fighting some of the best guys in the country, which is good for me. That was a good prep to the comp the next day.
Did you watch Ben's fight on The Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, how did that go?
So, he did okay, but the Ultimate Fighter really favours a grappler with a format that have 2 5-minute rounds. So, I mean, for 2 5-minute rounds, you can really just lay on a bloke.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to have that gas tank. You can push.
There's a huge difference between 3 rounds and
massive. Yeah. You can empty the tank in 2 rounds in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, look, Ben was, you know, he was a bit disappointed. Obviously, that's not what people are tuning in to see.
No.
Yeah.
They want to see what Ben's style is. Yeah. You know, bang,
knocking
bang,
people
bang.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But he's handled it well, obviously. He's straight back into training.
Yeah. I don't think he's missed any sessions. And Jimmy Cripps rearing up for UFC Adelaide.
Nice.
So, he had the same guy that Tyson Pedro fought in his first fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was asked to emulate his style, whoever Jimmy Crute fights is going to get an absolute hiding.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
He's looking good.
Put the house on it.
Yeah, put the house on it.
Okay.
Yeah, put the house on Jimmy Crute. I think the main thing I wanted to talk about is some pretty history-making stuff in MMA. There was a big trade, a first time there's ever been a trade in mixed martial arts,
And the one you're happy about
weird.
Too.
Between UFC. And one fighting championship.
It's like two separate companies trading stuff.
So we've talked about one a lot in the podcast. They're based in Asia. They're huge. As we said, Josh Tonnen's fight got over 1 million views on their Facebook video, let alone whoever actually watched it on TV.
Yeah.
He was watching his own fight on the plane on the way home. They're really taking and they've set themselves up in all the smaller Asian countries. And then we've got the UFC.
Yeah.
So they've swapped Mighty Mouse, obviously.
Demetrius Johnson
is the best featherweight of all time.
Who just lost the title to Henry Cejudo.
Flyweight.
Yeah. So they've swapped him for Ben Askren. Now, for those that don't know Ben Askren, he's a US Olympic wrestler. He won the World Championships for wrestling.
He's got a Jufro.
He's undefeated. He won the Bellator title, vacated the Bellator title, went to ONE FC, won the ONE FC welterweight title.
So he's got some skills.
Vacated that, and he hasn't lost yet. He's 19-0, I believe.
He's 18-0 and won no contest.
So 19-0, I call it. But yeah, so he's had 19 fights, have never lost.
He didn't have the best reputation as a finisher, but his record, he's got 8 KOs, 5 subs and 7 decisions. It's like 30%.
His last fight against Aoki, he really cleaned up. So,
yeah.
I mean, so this excites me because Ben Askren's a guy that Dana White had always spoken about and never hiring because Ben Askren's a very vocal. A lot of the wrestlers are because they've come in a very tough system.
Yeah.
So they cope. Their coping mechanism is to talk a whole heap of crap because they're not really worried about the repercussions.
And Dana's still got Ben Askren blocked on Twitter, so hopefully they can sort that out.
And so once the trade was made final, Demetrius Johnson came out and with a very polite statement looking forward to the news ahead. And Ben Askren proceeded to call out every single welterweight, lightweight, and in between on Twitter.
He called out
the Diaz brothers to a handicap match. He called out Khabib to a 165 fight. Yeah. He's called out McGregor.
It's huge moves, man.
He called out Darren Till as well. He's just giving it to Darren Till.
And keeping in mind, they got Eddie Alvarez as well.
Yeah.
So they're making some huge moves. Do you reckon it's going to be the UFC's first step towards getting rid of the flyweight division?
I believe so.
Because they do not move the needle.
I hope so.
The guys are...
I hope so.
Duke's not a fan. I am. I got like any...
any
biff. If you like, they're super small guys, but the smaller you are, the less power you have, so the more skill you have to have.
They do some cool stuff every now and then.
There are a lot of close calls and not a huge amount of finishes, but... some of the finishes Mighty Mouse has had have been awesome. Even the suplex in the armbar, mate, that's phenomenal.
Wasn't that cool?
And armbar, It wasn't that cool.
No, right? I said no. That wasn't that. Yeah, wasn't that cool? Like, I mean, that was awesome. Yeah.
Yes, sorry. That was cool. That,
was that not amazing? Yes,
it definitely made it. It definitely. I was being very negative that fight. Anyway, yeah, when he pulled sick. That out,
and when he armbarred Wilson Hayes, who's a jits black belt, and his arm's pretty. It's the wrong way. It's an obtuse angle. But he's done some awesome stuff, but it just doesn't move the needle for the general public. They look at that guy and they go, this guy picked a fight with me on the street. I'm kicking a field goal with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And now, but
so they don't get the respect they deserve.
But the ONE FC, their audience, they will appreciate. They appreciate the lot of weights, and they will absolutely love Mighty Mouse for what he brings to the table.
And they're throwing some money around, man, because Eddie wanted to stay with the UFC. And they said they just, the ONE outbid him.
Yeah, outbid him. And so the other thing is Mighty Mouse, I remember reading an interview. His big plan in his head, he says, I know this will never come true. I'd love to. I've got the UFC belt. I've won that 9 times. It's the same shape. It's the same design. I'd love to go around the world and start belt collecting.
Yeah, mix it up. And the Asians would appreciate it a lot more. Yeah. Like the Asian culture.
Is that martial
from
art
what
focused?
Duke and I understand about Japan, they really just, they respect the fighters so much. Yeah. Very different to the American and Western audience. So
I think it's a move that makes sense though, boys, for both of them. For the UFC, it suits what they need and 100%. What they aim it at. And as you said, going back the other way. It suits the market for what he's going into.
What's exciting though, it may be leading to what hopefully leads to a co-promote where, you know, we can see champions from different organisations fight each other in super fights.
I heard, who was talking about that, Chael or
Charles Sonnen?
Yeah, I heard him talk about that.
Charles Sonnen brought it up, but I mean, if you very think true. About it, well, if you get to the point where, I don't know if they're going to be that amicable with Bellator because they're a direct competitor.
Yeah,
where they look at ONE as go, well, we don't run shows in the same country.
We can work together, yeah.
But I think they're loading their stocks up now. They've got some fighters, so they may be loading up to run some shows in America. Yeah.
Well, I think he was saying that they might be getting a TV deal they haven't announced yet or something because huge moves. But UFC has co-promoted before with Pride. With they sent Chuck Liddell over to, was it Rampage? The Rampage fight. And they thought, well, you give us Chuck and we'll give you Vanderlei. And it never happened until Vanderlei was actually on the contract with the UFC. Mm. So the UFC did get screwed by Pride, but hopefully.
If
the co-promote works out better, it will be soon.
The benefit of what ONE's doing here as well is that they're leveraging off the names too, which is what you need. So when you get the guys like Eddie Alvarez.
It's the same as what Golden Boy's doing.
Yeah. That's correct.
Golden Boy MMA.
UFC are making a lot of these guys the name, but ONE is an emerging one. I think they're doing the right thing in bringing in some names.
It's good for the fighters too. They've got
a
platform. They've had an impact on that platform. Now they're using that to go somewhere else, cash in. That's the end of their careers. Good on them.
So I don't know who they're going to find for Mighty Mouse to fight.
Probably going to buy Henry Cejudo.
Who knows who they're going to buy?
They might get the whole flyweight division.
They'll have someone over in Risen or in ONE FC for him. But the most intriguing thing for me is who's Ben Askren going to fight. Look, I think he goes top five straight away. I don't think he goes title fight straight away. I think he goes top five.
I agree.
And look, he could, because the interesting thing with Ben Askren is he coaches and he's grew up with Tyron Woodley, who's the champion in welterweight. So because of that, he will never fight for the welterweight title as long as Tyron Woodley's
chasing
got the belt.
That 165.
So if he gets the 165, he's thinking maybe 185. I reckon, from what I've heard, he can make 155. I mean, he doesn't diet that hard.
Yeah, if you go off his Jufro, it'd be 160.
he's an interesting character. His fights won't be, it'll be a John Fitch style of fighting. But
I reckon I give him like a little bit more, exciting than John Fitch.
But the thing is, look, honestly, the way he builds his fights up, he's like Sonnen, you know, he'll talk a bit of smack and that's what you want.
Sonnen is superb. Though.
And then
he's
after,
the very best.
You know, he'll lay and pray for 3 rounds, but he'll get up and talk smack again. So, hey, nothing wrong with lay and pray every now and then. I also was thinking about the Daniel Cormier Lewis fight. There's just no way Lewis can win that.
It is, and it's called a Hail Mary.
Like his last one.
I think he's training 45 minutes a day now.
Yeah, right.
He literally said I train half an hour a day. No. Perish the thought.
And in the co-main event of that UFC Madison Square Garden card, with Luke Rockhold's been ruled out with an injury, and Jacare Souza has stepped up to fight Chris Weidman.
Yeah.
Look, I think Weidman. I'm picking Weidman. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what sort of Weidman's going to show up, man?
He's been hit and miss ever since he lost the belt.
Yeah.
He's been hit and miss.
I reckon, obviously, with the DC fight, though, it's just a stay busy, tune up fight, money fight 100%. To try and keep the Brock fight alive. That's the only reason they put it on such short notice.
He wouldn't have taken it if it wasn't that.
No way. If it was slightly dangerous and you miss out on that huge Brock payday.
If it was who'd Lewis beat? Sorry. The Russian.
Volkov.
If it was Alexander Volkov, he wouldn't have taken it. wouldn't fight, he wouldn't have fought Volkov.
Well, I don't know. I reckon he gets Volkov to the ground pretty, especially if Volkov's like very similar to Struve, a big tall guy that doesn't really use his height.
I saw him absolutely Polak Struve.
And then
Wadum. Yeah. You know, I think he just didn't fight smart in that last one.
Well, he had it won. He just kept coming.
Yeah. Mate, when as you're I up, said. As you saw in the jiu-jitsu, as you would have seen in me fighting jiu-jitsu, when you're up, that's it. You just
jab and run away.
Just relax. Just ease up.
Jab, hold. Don't take a chance.
Underhook. Anyway, I think that's enough for talk and takedown.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen. Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, boys. A listener question has come in. It's from Rick, and it says, boys, you've obviously signed contracts in your careers. Have you ever walked out on one, and was it hard to do? Because it seems with rugby league players and coaches, they can just quit whenever they want and go somewhere else before their contract is up. Because, yeah, we were talking about this earlier, Steve.
Great question, Rick.
Yeah, like Seabold and Bennett, Maguire to the Tigers, Cleary back to the Panthers. And you've got players walking in and out. It looks like David Clemmer has told Canterbury with 2 years to go on his contract, get stuffed.
Yeah, that's right. He's requested a release again today, yeah.
I want to go to the Knights for 1.2 mil a season.
Yep.
I hope we get him. We need a mongrel front rower. I'd be stoked if we end up with Clemmer.
He'd be a great signing for you, mate. Don't worry about that. Who was that guy that you announced at 4 o'clock today?
Do you know what that was? I thought that was all. Like, I saw all this guy. They did this cool video going, there's a signing. It was Jamie Bure. Oh, it was the re-signing of Jamie Bure.
Every
Knights fan is going off their head, going, what the hell did you announce
that for? Why are you promoting that like that?
Especially when there's talk about Clemmer coming to the Knights. But anyway.
Yeah, to answer the question, Rick, it's a cracking question. I think that in the case of... I personally think in cases of contracts and that sort of stuff, I think they need to be looked at in individual circumstances because there can be all sorts of things that change as to why you pull out of a contract. In the case of these guys, if it's just as simple as, I don't want to do that anymore or I made a bad choice, then it's a hard one to actually understand in terms of what they're doing, you know, as players and coaches.
It works both ways in the NRL, though. I've seen players, the clubs have turned on them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's important to look at them circumstantially.
So, I mean, you've got to look at it from both ways and look after
your own. But it is bizarre. You're right with what you said before, Duke. Leave it to the end of the year.
Why is there a cutoff in the middle of the year?
Is it a tax time financial year thing?
There'd have to be a big reason for them to have people switching clubs. You play 1 week for whoever, and then the next week you're over in Sydney playing for another club.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen.
Aaron Woods did it this year.
I've seen it happen with blokes of the Raiders. You know, my mates, the next week they're playing for the Roosters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it promotes any kind of tribalism if you've got blokes jumping between clubs. And now coaches.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if with Manly, they're going to be... Their coach is... He's intending on...
Trent Barrett, yeah.
Trent Barrett's intending on showing up for 6 months next year.
That's going to be...
not going to be awkward at all, is it?
He extends on... He says, oh, I've got a contract... I'm not leaving. So
he's got his garden furniture there. He's got to go and make sure it's looked after.
Get his patio stuff.
He will definitely just be feeding grapes to Des Hasler, won't he?
Yeah. Just fanning Des. But yeah, I mean, like, especially in your game, Duke, like, you know, you sign a contract for one event. These guys sign for years at a time. So, you know, with what I know, you don't go into detail, but with the brace thing and that all ended, we know that wasn't great at the start of this year, but surely. Like, if you'd have just gone, do you know what, I don't want to do this fight anymore, you can't just pull out of it once you've signed it. You've got to get out medically, I guess, if you don't want to fight.
But the thing is, I'm sure you can get out of it. But for, as far as with me, if I've put my name on something, I want to put my name on it, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll just, it's a case-by-case thing. And with the brace thing, I mean, look, I didn't make them live up to their side. They didn't live up to my side. I just leave it. And I go, but I mean, when you get up the stakes, when you're up the stakes, well, things change.
It's a good point as well you made there, Scotty, is that you're signing on for years and years and years. I mean, there's, you know.
It can be lifestyle issues. It can be family
issues.
That's right.
There'll be all sorts of things that come up. There was one today where one of the I think it's the Boston Red Sox players today. I'm pretty sure he's a Red Sox player. Mercado, I think his name is. But there's talk about him, like they want to sign him to a 10-year deal at $30 million bucks a season. And they're going, this is just... Some other pitcher did that in recent years, I'm pretty sure. But they're just saying it's just dangerous for everyone involved because you think about that amount of money you're committing to lay out for a start. And then after that, never mind the fact that if he gets injured, he gets the shits, he starts, there's been cases where I've taken on with the club no more and you're 3 years into a 10-year deal. What are we going to do, pay you out?
Well, a lot of players have clauses in their contracts in the NRL. Like, I'm here, but if the coach leaves, this coach that I've signed to come and play at this club for leaves, I've got an escape clause.
Yeah.
That you can kind of understand. I guess if you go, I'm going to sign a three-year deal because I want to play for Wayne Bennett, and then Wayne Bennett leaves, which is pretty much what Darius has done for his whole career.
Yep.
He's come out and said he probably won't do that this time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, Bennett was a father figure to him, so you can understand why he had it. But, yeah, it is interesting. You'd think like 3 years, maybe 4 years should be the max term for a contract, and then, you know, you renew if you're still happy at the club, away you go. But Daly Cherry-Evans signed a 10-year deal with Manly.
Yeah, exactly right.
So. Yep. Yeah, it's strange. Bizarre.
Yeah, good question, though,
Rick. Great question.
Yeah. But it does. It pisses you off. The NRL and the jumping in and around. It's like, fix it. Just find a way to fix it.
Oh, the 2 year, 3 year in advance stuff is farcical. I've never seen anything so stupid in my life. Yeah, I'll be there in 2021. Okay, what are we going to do until then? Don't know. Come up with all these other ideas. Players come and go. Stupid.
Thanks, Rick.
The podcast you're listening to is pre-recorded before a live studio fern.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Hugh.
Season 3, episode 26 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, is coming to a close. Our last episode is next week. Caden Helmers, if you're listening, you are more than welcome to come and join us for some shenanigans next week if you want to, mate. And yeah, we'll get to it. But first, we've got to get to our uppercut this week. And I think we're all unanimous on this one, boys. Stevie, who are we going to uppercut this week?
We're going to uppercut one of our best cricketers who in recent times has disgraced himself, Mr. David Warner.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was the whole thing that happened with him, Bancroft and Steve Smith last year. We know they're all suspended and they're all pretty much playing park cricket and grade cricket.
Mm. Was that last year, the ball tampering thing?
Yeah.
It's this year.
Oh, start of this year, was it? Very start of this year it was, yeah.
April, I think. Feels April, like yesterday. May. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's August.
The years all meld together now, don't
Maybe it was August, no?
No, it was ages ago. It was ages ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Warner's playing a game on the weekend for his club, and Philip Hughes, his brother, was in that side. Now, Philip Hughes, of course, the Aussie opening batsman that was tragically lost his life when he got hit in the back of the head with a cricket ball. Something was said, and Dave Warner removed himself from the game because he claimed what was happening wasn't sledging, it was abusive. And he just walked. Now, the rules of cricket state that if you remove yourself from a game without being dismissed, then your innings is over. He was talked into going back out and scored 154 runs. So now there's an investigation into it.
This was rich. Yeah. Because of what we've heard is that he already got called was a disgrace or something like
something
that.
Something like that.
I'm like, it's just a million things worse get said out in the cricket field. Oh.
And then his wife becomes his mouthpiece in the press too. Yeah. It just gets really awkward and weird, doesn't it?
As if your PR person would say, oh, get your missus to go up and
see. Yeah, I'd be embarrassed, man.
Yeah, I mean, she's a sports person in her own right and all that stuff, but it's just...
It's like getting your mum to write something on Facebook.
Batuta Advocate, the satire site, has been destroying him all day. There's pictures of him in his full cricket get-up. And one was Dave Warner walks off expressway after someone yelled, learn to drive. another one was him walking out of a house in his cricket kit. Go, David Warner leaves early Christmas dinner after mother-in-law says he looks like he's been in a good paddock. And all this sort of shit. They're just destroying him.
Good on him.
Yeah. We think it's worthy of an uppercut. So, fellas, flex those muscles. Duke, I know you're sore, but let's give it to him.
I got one alarm bar left in me.
All right, here we go. Take that, David Warner. Take that indeed.
How soft.
What
though.
A sort.
Can you imagine what the South Africans are going to give to us when they get here this year? They're going to spray us massive.
And they reckon Warner was one of the biggest sledges on the field.
Absolutely.
So, you know, for him to walk off, it's pretty rich,
so
isn't
rich
it?
Isn't it? Yeah, so the South Africans will seize on that when the One Day Series starts next week. They'll kill us. They'll feed us.
If you're an idiot.
If Warner and Smith walk back into the squad for the Ashes, which you think they would, the Poms are going to just into them deluxe next year.
Massive. Can you imagine?
It's going to be huge. So anyway, big week. Benny, you're fighting in February. Wallace To'o, is it close enough?
Yeah.
Yep. Duke, December 8th, but hopefully we can announce something next week.
Oh, let's hope so.
Payos, you're off to the Middle East where there's a heap of black American prostitutes and cars are going to cost you a fortune.
I like this episode summary. Yeah. We should do this every episode.
Hashtag from here on coping mechanism. That's it from me. I'll say get a big black dog up, yeah?
Catch ya.
Don't miss me too much, Canberra.
See you all next week.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.